The Old Testament reading for Thanksgiving is from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 days in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. The first four verses serves as our sermon text and the verses following that as well. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that you may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. If my voice doesn't hold out, this sermon's going to get shorter and shorter. Once a thief broke into the dwelling of Matthew Henry, the Bible scholar, and stole his wallet. The busy, cheerful old gentleman, far from being downcast, turned to his diary and entered this cheerful observation: "Let me be thankful first that he never robbed me before. Second, because although he took my wallet, he did not take my life. Third, because although he took all I possessed, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." On this eve of Thanksgiving, we look at the words of Paul as recorded in 1 Timothy 2, all the way to verse 8. And we consider the theme, thankfulness for God's blessings. My thankful brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Concerning Thanksgiving Day in our country, Edwin Anderson gives us this synopsis. He writes, "It goes back to commemorating the harvest of the Plymouth Colony in 1621. The previous winter had been one of great hardship for the settlers. When Thanksgiving Day was inaugurated, only a few eastern states participated. Through the efforts of Sarah Hale, a change was effected. She was fired with the determination of having the whole nation join together in setting apart a national day of giving thanks unto him from whom all blessings flow. To that end, she resolutely engaged the press with an endless flow of letters and articles to the various newspapers and journals of her time. In addition, she pleaded long and earnestly with three different presidents, Fillmore, Pierce, and Buchanan, during the period of 1846 to 1856. A small measure of triumph was granted in the year 1852, when her campaign succeeded in uniting 29 states as marking the last Thursday of November as Thanksgiving Day. Then came the dark days of the Civil War. Who would listen to a lone woman with her persistent pleas for just one day of peace amid the blood and strife? One man did. Her entreaty won the ear of a great American. And in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln officially proclaimed the last Thursday of November as a day set apart for the national giving of thanks unto Almighty God. Lincoln lived only to see two Thanksgiving occasions, but Sarah Hale lived into her late 90s content that her long-cherished hope had at last become a reality. And that's how we get here tonight. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, "Therefore I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. We have many things to pray for, as we have so much to be thankful for." But you know, we probably have to confess that we have not always prayed as God would want us to. We could come up with a long list of things that we haven't done that God told us to do. We could add up all those things which God told us not to do, and we went ahead and did them anyway. And then we quickly see the mess that can leave our lives in. Sin doesn't just go away. It doesn't go away if the church doesn't talk about it. We see and feel and experience the consequences of it in our lives every day. And so God is always in the business of calling us to repentance. As John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Forgiveness and salvation are the ultimate blessings. Paul says, "For there is one God and one mediator, also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time." Christ Jesus came as our substitute, the one who would bring God and mankind back together. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Instead of counting them against us, they have all been counted and credited to our Savior Jesus Christ. Paul says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That is exactly what the gospel has done for you. God looks at you, he declares you holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And we have received that wonderful gift of forgiveness already through the water and word of our baptism. And from that forgiveness, from that baptismal life, flows thankfulness for all of God's blessings. What greater blessing can there be than to be rescued from sin, death, and the power of the devil? John wrote, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the payment for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world. And then Paul said, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And our Lord Jesus' own words, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Thankfulness for God's blessings flows from sins forgiven and a life made new in Christ Jesus. Martin Luther wrote, and I quote, faithless saints always want to give God something as though he needed their service, while he is God and gives us and desires to give us everything, for we are in need of his goodness, but he wants us to be grateful and to regard him as our God, end quote. Imagine for a moment that you have been taken hostage by a terrorist. You have absolutely no hope of being released. You will never again enjoy any of the freedoms you once cherished. You will never see your loved ones again. That's not a pretty picture. When we think of people who are living apart from the church and are separated from Christ Jesus, that's the kind of scenario they're in. They are in hostage to sin, death, and the power of the devil. And that is exactly contrary to what God desires in this text when Paul says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So how can God use each one of us to convey that message to those who are still in that hostage scenario? For our Lord Jesus suffered, bled, and died, rose again, so that people could enjoy the forgiveness of sins, be rescued from wrath and damnation. In Hebrews it says, since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. And then John adds, and you know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. The Son of Man appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Thanksgiving is a time for each of us to stop and to thank God for all the blessings which he has so generously bestowed upon us. We have those blessings individually in our lives and as families. You have those blessings here as a member of Zion Lutheran Church. Much to be thankful for from a God who continually supplies all of our needs, not necessarily all of our wants. Back in 1636, amid the darkness of the 30 Years' War, a German pastor, Martin Rickert, is said to have buried 5,000 of his parishioners in 1 year, an average of 15 a day. His parish was ravished by war, death, and economic disaster. In the heart of that darkness, with cries of fear outside his window, he sat down and wrote this table blessing for his children. And here's what he wrote. Now thank we all our God, with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Martin Rickert was a man who knew that thanksgiving flows from Christ Jesus himself, not from our outward circumstances. Each day we can be thankful for and rejoice in God's promises. As Paul said, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. In the redeeming work and name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.